Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. It is I, John Crockett, who has returned from his drinking sabbatical to Vietnam a la honeymoon. It's good to be back and I'm looking forward to getting my teeth into a real Aussie Palmer, not the crap that they served up in Vietnam. I'm telling you, Steve, you posted the photo out on Twitter. That photo did no justice to what it was. It was just an uncrumbed breast fillet of chicken with a bit of bolognese, spaghetti bolognese sauce, and a slice of ham, no cheese, on top. That's what the Palmer was.
No cheese.
With spaghetti bolognese next to it.
I noticed they didn't even call it a Parmigiani. It was a Parmigiana.
Even the spelling was wrong, but quality. But good to be back home eating real food. I'm not eating rice for at least a month because I'm sick of it. Today we're doing the top 30 Supercoach rankings of our players that we've got. And for that, we were going to suspend the Statesman because I have been listening to the show while I was away and he's still really, really salty about losing to the Listener League. Isn't he, Steve?
He doesn't let things go, but let's let him speak.
Well, hopefully we won't see Nick Riewoldt in anyone's list today. I think we've all had enough of him. His last game of 200 points is all over for his career as far as I'm concerned.
The only averaging forward to average over 100 in Supercoach as well with a new.
Well, I think the Statesman's gotten in people's heads because we're putting out some polls on, you know, which forwards would you like, which key for Nick Riewoldt. He's coming last in all these polls, despite being number one on the board.
Got to get some value.
That's some value. I'm thinking Nick Riewoldt's going to be in a lot of my teams.
But you won't hear too much of the Statesman today, you know, as he doesn't understand the high-tech scoring that is Supercoach. So he is here on the show. He will put in his 2 cents, but it'll be interesting to see what he does put in when it does come to Nick Riewoldt, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some stage.
Will we?
Sure we will, Jenna.
I don't think we will. But Steve, I believe we've got a review this week.
Well, we've had a lot of reviews, Jono, in the time we've been away. People have really picked up their interest.
Obviously, not surprising.
The show's picked up in quality.
Good to hear.
I really want to thank, like really, really sincerely thank everyone who's been dropping iTunes reviews. We've had a few lately. Obviously, we've opened up the Listener League contest and one of the ways we said to get in.
Yep.
Or to put an entry in is to leave a review. But sincerely thank you for all the feedback in the iTunes reviews. We got a lot of feedback on the Keepers pod. People really loved it. So we'll be trying to deliver some more Keeper content over the off-season. And if you don't think it means anything, we've moved up in all the searches on iTunes. So when people are searching for AFL Fantasy, that's why that sort of thing really helps. We move up in the rankings and all that sort of thing. But we got a great review from Lockie123. And he says he started listening halfway through 2016 and it thoroughly helped with his fantasy teams, especially strategy in his elite league. It helped him win a flag.
Ah, that's what we want to hear.
Good work, Lockie.
Well done.
He's also enjoying the analysis for 2017 and is intrigued for more. He loves the ideas on Keepers League because, in his opinion, it gives everyday people the feeling of being an AFL coach. So very much thank you there. And everyone, keep hitting us up with the Listener League entries.
Yes.
We've seen some great stuff on the Twitter and on the Facebook. So someone put in their league punishment, Jono.
I caught this late last night. I don't know if it was the amount of beers I'd had, but it wasn't too right in my head, but you might want to explain to the listeners exactly what it was.
Yeah, we asked people what they do for their league punishment for whoever comes last, and Reece Anderton said that the wooden spooner has to be beer wench for the Premier all draft day, cooks the barbecue, and has to wear an old warm-up top that belonged to Brad Dick.
Brad Dick? I can't even remember him being on an AFL list.
Well, I remember him being at Collingwood, but I think these Western Australian boys
are pretty high on him.
When there was no hope.
Yes.
So,
man, warm-up jumper.
What a punishment.
That is a bad punishment. And there was another one with a photo, but mentionable on air.
We're a family show, people.
Absolutely. Bit of news. Everyone's back on the training track, tearing it up. Don't know if you heard it, but It looks like Freo have got the next best forward line coming out with Shane Kirsten and Cam McCarthy just tearing up the track in the first day back, and I can't see that happening.
Well, you know why they're having a good pre-season, Jono?
Because they're playing no one.
They've laid off the kebabs.
Ah.
It's a big problem down at Freo. And in Frankston for me.
I bet it would be. But not too much news coming out, as everyone's just gone back to training today, so that just means we are about 6 weeks away from football, which, can you believe it?
Oh, man, I'm just pumped for the draft.
Well, when's our league record?
Well, we've got the Rumble coming up in like Royal 3 weeks.
Is 2 or 3 weeks. Pretty pumped for that. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or you can even follow Statesman, which is at Statesman33. Head over to Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, hit the like page, or drop us an email, thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Also, head over to iTunes, hit the 5-star like, leave us a review. We're happy to read it out on air, and we really appreciate it. But today, we are talking Supercoach Top 30, where we're just going to run through basically who our top 30 players will be for 2017. And the way we're going to do it, going to read them out in batches of 10, have a bit of a discussion, and see where we're different, and just have a general chat. So I'm going to kick it off with my top 10, starting off with Patrick Dangerfield, number 1, Max Gorn, number 2, Pendlebury, 3, Rockcliffe, 4, Nat, 5, Parker, 6, Treloar, 7, Joel Selwood, 8, Sam Doherty, 9, and Tom Mitchell, number 10.
Yeah, it's... You know, we got a lot of the same players, John. I was actually surprised when I saw your list. Our top six were the exact same. There was just one difference in order.
Yep.
So, I mean, it looks like Danger's pretty clear number one. I think there's an argument for Gorn to be number one.
There is an argument, but...
Especially if you're maybe playing in a non-captain's league.
Exactly right, yeah.
But I don't have any problems with those two being one and two. It seems pretty clear cut, I would have thought.
Yep. And especially Max Gorn, that third man up rule's gone. Scoring can go up a little bit, but I don't think too much more to get him as a number one player in the comp.
Yeah, the only thing with Max Gorn is, like, he's so valuable with the hitouts, but I kind of wonder if maybe the team's a bit better. Maybe he doesn't need to do as much around the ground.
Especially with Jesse Hogan set to keep it simple in front of goal, so Maxie might not have to go down there.
Melbourne's third best key forward, yeah. Yeah, what do you think, Statesman, about those two?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued with the ruck structure with the non-third man up. Obviously, the ruckmen are going to get a greater advantage in Supercoach because of the additional points for hitouts to advantage. And there's another player that we'll talk about a little bit later on that's just outside Jono's top 10, but inside yours in Marcus Bontempelli, where... he had 126 hitouts this year, and the majority of those are coming from the third man up. Now, of course, that's going to affect his score, especially in Supercoach. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts of 126 hitouts in Dream Team is 126 points. That's an average of 6 per game in Dream Team. That's what he's going to be affected by. But that actually could be closer to 10 to 12 points in Supercoach. So I wanted to see what you thought that new rule is going to affect, not only the ruckman, as in Maxi Gorn and Grundy, which are probably the two main there, or probably Goldstein as well, but how that will affect Marcus Bontempelli.
Well, I actually did the research on that with Bontempelli taking out the points that he got from hitouts this year, and it was only about 230, 240 points, but we got to remember Bontempelli is not even 21 yet, so... and he's already averaging 107 in Supercoach. He's got to play the guts this year. So it's more time to the guts. The points are just going to come back there and probably double that to see that average go up, in my opinion. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a factor.
I personally can see upside.
Oh, there's upside to Bond, but...
You think about it. If he averages 6 hitouts a game, to be any value in Supercoach, they have to go to advantage. Right?
Yep.
Otherwise, it's just a hitout. Well, the Bulldogs ruckmen aren't exactly the most blistering ruckmen in the league. So, theoretically, those are just more clearance opportunities for Bond.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, that's more of a contested ball that he can win.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree.
So I don't find any... I don't see a problem. I mean, I think it's been so overplayed, to be honest. I think there are some ruckmen who will get a boost.
Sam Jacobs.
Sam Jacobs, because he does literally nothing around the ground.
Yep.
Mumford, Wicks, probably another one.
If he plays number one, right?
Well, yeah. But, there's certainly some interest there in how it plays out.
Yeah. But I think with the third man up gone, it's not going to affect the players too much anyway. As you said, they'll get the points elsewhere.
So number three, Jono, we both had Scott Pendlebury, which I thought was pretty interesting.
How can you go past him? You can't.
You can't.
He's 118, 116 averages for the last 10 years.
Never misses.
Never misses.
And this is my thing. We know Statesman's backing Pendlebury to not play midfield. When Collingwood win, you know what Pendlebury averaged last year?
125.
132. Oh, they're not taking him out of there.
And the other point is, if Bucks wants to keep his job, which Pendles is playing midfield.
Yeah, I think his influence is too good. He's too effective with the ball.
And I just want to make the point on Scott Pendlebury, and this is the difference with him from Super Coach to Dream Team. Last year, he had a drop in 5 points in Dream Team, but he actually had an increase of 2 points in Super Coach. So it's 106 versus 118. So you compare that with a Lachie Neal, who had 111. So he was 5 points ahead of him in Dream Team, but he's actually 7 points below him in Supercoach. And this is where the way Scott Pendlebury plays and the quality of his disposal and the way he works inside traffic, he is gold when it comes to Supercoach. Lachie Neal, who's probably not going to be taggable because of his disposals, is actually gold when it comes to Dream Team.
Yep. I've got no worries with him. But this is where we had a bit of difference. You went Rockliffe at four. I went Nat Fyfe. And you went Fyfe at five, and I went Rockliffe at five. So what do you like about Rocky over Fyfe?
I've always had that. Just Nat Fyfe's always had that question mark of injuries over him. Like when he first started, he had those shoulders and whatnot, broken leg. The broken legs, okay, yeah, it's supposed to be healed and everything. It's just leg injuries always worry me. Whereas Rocky...
What, back injuries are good?
Back injuries, he's fine. Like, look at him, he's a keg on legs. Rocky's, we've seen him score those 130 average before, whereas Fyfe, we saw 124 when he won the Brownlow medal.
Yeah.
Twice
won over 120.
Has it? I thought it was once. Oh, I just want to, that's why I went Rocky, just that higher output there for me.
I went Fyfe over him because I think they've both got potential to be maybe the top scorer. But just
no doubt.
Fyfe has no competition, whereas Rocky, Beams, Zorko, there's a lot of good players there. I could see him coming back more than Fyfe.
Yeah.
So that just feels a little bit safer there.
But hey, for choice, if you know Rocky or Fyfe, you're not going to pass.
Great captain options. Yeah.
I had Luke Parker at number six.
Both did.
Yep. Look, back in 2015 when he had that leg injury, he averaged 99. And this year we saw him average 111. I think this year we might actually even see him be a top five midfielder, even top five overall.
Yeah, everything he does sets up for Supercoach, like the
tackles,
inside, outside, the tackles, the goal ability going forward. So he's, you know, we know being forward of 50, forward of the centre is good for Supercoach, a la your Dane Beams type players. Well, that's what Luke Parker is, so that's obviously a big boost for you. SC format, so I got him there as well.
Yeah, can't tag him either. Number seven, Treloar. We both had Adam Treloar.
Yeah, I've got him back at 11.
Okay.
So I went for a few... There's one midfielder I've got in front of him, a few position guys. What do you like about Treloar?
The way I look at teams, like you see teams like back in the days, West Coast, you had Juddy, Cousins, that 1-2 combo. Mm. That's what I see with Collingwood. You've got Pendlebury, Treloar, and I just see Treloar, he's going to go into that elite status, like 111 average year, that's great, but I could see that going 115 and higher this year. That's why I like him number seven.
Yeah, I got Bont at number seven, so I expect big things from the Bont, but we'll get to him in your pick and I'll savage you then. But Joel Selwood at eight, Jono, my goodness.
Sorry, Statesman. Wants to chime in.
Jono at eight, Joel Selwood.
Joel Selwood.
I'm interested. Goodness, I'm not even looking at him.
Yeah, well, I didn't realise you were going ahead with Joel Selwood. But Sam Doherty, you both had at nine. Very interested seeing he was really the standout in the defence in averaging close to that 110 in Supercoach. And that's his really breakout year. It clearly shows he's the number one defender. Wouldn't you guys snaffle him a little bit earlier when you're talking a top 15 scorer and a sort of a standalone in that defence?
I don't think he is a standalone. I've got Heath Shaw right there with him. The difference in the two is Doherty won't get tagged, or presumably won't get tagged and give you 60, but he also won't give you 200, which is what Heath Shaw can certainly do.
Yep.
So I understand the point, and I've certainly pumped defenders up pretty high, but the guys I've got in front of Sam Doherty at 9, I've got all my gun mids. I'm going to captain these guys every single week. There's no qualms about it.
Yeah.
And I've got Todd Goldstein in front of him as well.
And I was going to say, yeah, it all depends on if you're at the captain's league or not. We're picking on as if it is a captain's league, but if it's non-captain, then obviously it could change.
Well, yeah, he's my second position player, because I've got all these guys you can bank on who are going to get you, I think, 115+. That's where all these guys are going to average from mine. So the next batch of midfielders, I don't care which one I get. I know I've got them ordered 11 to
20,
16. Oh, there's a line there.
Yeah.
But for me, they're all the same. But these guys in front, these guys are all capable of 120+. And I'm pretty sure they'll all go. There's nothing to say Sam Doherty won't drop back a little bit.
No.
It's not often you see these guys have a 108 and maintain it.
Yeah, and yep. Doherty's had that hype about him ever since he got drafted, that he's ready to do this sort of scoring. But Joel Selwood, the reason why I pick him, how can you not? Like, he's been ultra elite pretty much his whole career. Danger there, as was mentioned in the Dream Team top 30. You got Danger there protecting him now, so he's not getting busted open like a split pig every week. It's proof in the pudding. I'd be quite happy to take him and captain him.
But the thing is, for me, he throws... Like, I've got him in that next batch of mids after my top position players.
Yeah.
Where, yes, you can captain him, but he will throw in a lot of 80 games. I don't think he's ever going to get back to that 115, 120.
Well, that's only 4 points per average.
Oh, I understand that, but for me, those days are gone.
You think they're
but
gone?
There's no difference between him and Treloar, him and Hanbury, him and JPK for mine. Like, they're all the same.
Yeah.
So if I can, that's where I want to get. I want to get the advantage over guys like, I want to get the Doherty's, Shaw's, Goldie's. You know, and maybe Parker's in that mix too. But I feel he's better than that for Supercoach.
Yeah.
I feel Bont's better than that for Supercoach. I really feel these guys are just lay down Mazaire captains, whereas Joel Selwood, he can still get tagged out of things.
Yeah, Ellie got tagged a couple of times last year, which...
And he stunk!
It did stink, yes. But hey, happens to the best of us sometimes.
You get tagged, do you, in your life, when you're going up to work?
Oh,
someone
yeah.
Someone tags you.
They just
you,
lock, like, go lock me down
on the computer and just whack your arms.
That's it. I see it on the roads these days as well. They just block me in. I can't get where I want to go.
And you go full Selwood and just ram them, don't you?
Yeah, just put the head down, get the free kick, and away I go. But, we mentioned Sam Doherty there, number 9. He's going to be the number one defender for the next 10 years, I reckon. Number 10, I've got Tom Mitchell, leading the pack there, now at Hawthorn, playing that fourth string at Sydney. We never saw that full potential, but I think that's going to be unleashed at the Hawks. I mean, this is a guy who scored 262 in Supercoach back playing the NEFL, where he had 60-odd possessions. Hey,
good form.
60. didn't who's my boy? Reece Palmer score something similar.
Oh, you had to mention it, didn't you?
Had to mention it. No, look, it's 10, fair enough.
The only question I would have is how he would handle a tag, because we haven't really seen that.
That's not my question. My question is, he's a bit of a hacker.
Disposal efficiency?
Yeah. That's my worry.
Well, I think we only saw it as that poor because that was the role he was playing at Sydney.
Well, what's his role going to be? Inside mid, under pressure? Hey, look, it could happen.
Yeah. It's not super terrible, but he can improve that.
I've got him back at 14 in my mix with my Treloar's, Hanbury's, and Kerr's. I'm just a little bit...
A little bit cool on him?
I think it could happen. And I've certainly got him in that one... I guess that range is my 110s.
Yeah.
But certainly more on Dream Team than...
Supercoach.
Supercoach for me.
Yep. And my next tier from the 11 to 20 for me, I've got Bontempelli at 11, Dan Hand 12, JPK 13, Heath Shaw 14, Goldie 15, Gray 16, Robbie Gray that is, Luke Dalhouse 17, Gary Ablett 18, best watch yourself here, Statesman, Lockie Neal 19, and Paddy Cripps at number 20 for me.
Yeah, no love for the Bont at number 11. Hating the Bont.
Not hating the Bont, just a couple of question marks. I mean, this is a bloke who has hit 30 possessions only a handful of times.
Four times,
there you go. That's less than a handful. It's that... Okay, look, I was watching the grand final again today. He went 20 disposals at 100% efficiency, the Bont, in that grand final. So he's not going to do that every week, but he's going to have to increase that possession to get that score up for me if he's to get into that top 10 bracket.
More effective disposals than the Norm Smith winner.
Yeah, I was watching good old JJ and geez, I think he had
helicopter the ball.
Two effective disposals in that grand final.
Yeah, I've got Marcus Bontempelli at 7. I think he is going...
Going to go full ham, you reckon?
Look, he averaged, after round 7, averaged 115. I think with the Bulldogs actually getting some forwards this year, they might even play them. Maybe not. We'll wait and see.
Travis Cloak, hurrah!
Hurrah! So there's no reason not to play Bont in the guts. Interestingly enough, the two seasons before... Or was it three seasons, sorry, before Nat Fyfe went full ham, had a pretty similar rate of hitting 30 disposals as Mr. Bontempelli. He was going at 15% of his games, he was hitting 30 disposals.
Interesting.
Whereas Bont is going at 14. So these are guys who are going to be SC monsters because they can do it without the ball.
Yeah. See Cyril Rioli.
Well, I mean, everything they do is contested. Bont's certainly more effective, but they go forward with the ball.
Bont kicks goals.
And they run. They run with the ball away from a pack. So that's a bit of gold. So he might not go 120 this year, but I think it's either this year or next, and I certainly don't mind. I'll be a year early. I don't mind if that happens.
Hey, look, if he is a year early, he's probably going to get you a 114-ish average, you would imagine, and you'd be happy with that. Number 12 for me was Dan Hand.
Same.
Just super consistent. Mitchell leaving is not going to affect him. Not going to be tagged at all. He'll be fine.
Well, he beats tags even when he gets them.
Yeah. Same with JPK at 13 for me. This guy gets clearances, contested possessions, and tackles. Oh my. Again, can't be tagged. Would love to see him kick more goals though.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had Dan Hand and JPK the same. You had Heath Shaw at 14, which I think is a bit low. I got him at 10. I've got three position players at the back of that first round and certainly want to lock away one of the good defenders.
Yeah.
Because I feel I can get one of these same mids.
Anytime
I like. So, I mean, I don't mind it, but I don't know that he'll even last that long. Well, I mean, do you have any problems with Shaw? I mean, we know he'll get tagged sometimes.
Yeah, I've got no problem with Shaw. Just the age, that emerging GWS defence now, just might take a little bit more of a backseat. And again, that tag is that question mark. But I suppose same thing could happen to Doherty, I guess.
It could.
Yep. But yeah, just not as high on him this year than I was last year.
Now, your next pick's a straight up howler, Jono.
Straight up howler. Toddy Goldstein.
Goldie at 15.
The only reason I dropped
him. I got him at 8.
You got him at 8? You reckon he'll go first round?
Yes. Yes. You're talking about a guy who in a bad year averaged 108.
Yeah.
That's a bad year.
But also, North Melbourne are going to suck it as well. But
people say that, but their midfield's the exact same, minus Daniel Wells. Well, what did he do 2 years ago when Daniel Wells didn't play?
Went 130.
Boom!
I
think you're getting a huge discount on Goldie this year. I think it's awesome. And you know what? This is the big thing. I think he's so far and away better than the next rucks.
Oh, Gorn and Goldie, 1-2, and then Daylight, in my opinion.
That's the thing. I think, you know, we talk about position scarcity. the next six rucks, seven rucks in Supercoach.
Horses for courses.
They're going to be, what, 10 points apart at best?
If you're lucky, yeah.
There's no, I don't see any reason Goldstein doesn't go back to his 115, dominating the hitouts, doing it around the ground. I think they're going to need him. If they bring in Majak, I think that's good. Send him forward. Give him some time there. He can kick goals. We know that.
Oh, you've lost Petri and whatnot, so...
I want to hear what...
Statesman's got to say.
Statesman's got to say about Goldstein. I think this is interesting.
I'm just a little bit worried about the role. There's no doubt he's got the scoring potential, both in Dream Team and especially in Supercoach. But I'm just a little bit worried of what they're doing with Majak Dore. So if he goes into a two-ruck system, that could hamper him. Yes, he could be reasonably effective up forward, but if his role isn't 80% of being the ruckman, then I think his scoring will go down. I think only the pre-season's going to show us that.
Hmm. Oh, I'm a bit more confident. That's fair enough.
I'm not. coming in at number 16 for me is Robbie Gray. The only reason he doesn't go in the top 10 for Supercoach is his disposal efficiency. That's around the 68% mark. But having said that, his last couple of years, his tackles have been increasing. We know he rests forward, so the goals are there. He's a great second foil for me behind one of these elite midfielders.
Yeah, I've got him at 17, so I've got no problems with him. And
I think if Porter to bounce back into the finals, he's going to have to go pretty full hand.
I think the only query with Robbie Gray is he can tend to miss.
And not miss games. He's in the game, but he's
miss games. I've got no problems with Robbie. His average is 108. That's great as a second midfielder.
Yeah. Well, he has done it 114.
Yeah, exactly. So he's thereabouts.
Yep. Number 17 for me is first forward in Luke Dalhouse. Before the injury in 2016... he hardly missed a game. I see him bouncing back to that 104 average from a couple of years ago. No worries there.
Yeah, I've got Lukey Dalhouse at 21. I don't have a forward in the first two rounds.
Even with the position scarcity...
I don't think... I'm sort of looking at it as though how I would draft, and I think the top seven forwards are exactly the same.
You reckon?
Yeah, I've got Luke Dalhouse at the top. But the top seven forwards, I don't care who I get. So I just want to get the last one.
Yep.
Because that means I've got the best value out of them.
Yep.
Yeah, like it's Nick Riewoldt, it's Dalhouse, it's Deledio, it's Buddy, it's Tom Lynch, it's
McRae,
and JJK. I don't care.
Isaac?
No. that's in the
had
old,
to bring him up.
That's in the old Dream Team format, buddy.
Isaac Smith's worse in Supercoach.
He's worse.
No. Heaney.
Oh, Isaac Heaney.
Come on, guys.
You won't have to take him that early.
Nah, you get...
But that's what I mean. Like, seriously, can you tell me one's worth so much more than the other?
I think Dalhouse would be.
I've got him a little bit more, but not much.
Well, do you have him 21? So we're 21. What, four off each other. That's not too bad.
But I don't even feel. I felt like I actually could have had a whole list without a forward, but I felt like it would have been stupid. But people will tell me about position scarcity. There's seven of them. You're going to get one of them. Unless you feel they're so vastly different in points.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And there's so many mid-range forwards this year, which all are potential breakouts. You're talking your Josh Caddy, your Jack Steeles, your Lunchmeat, of course. How could we not have a pod without mentioning Lunchmeat? There's so many of them.
Kobe Stevens.
Kobe Stevens, Reece Palmer. There's a whole host that you can actually select. Yes, they're a bit risky, but nailing probably your rucks, your backs, and your key midfielders are probably higher up on the order list than you're probably mid-range forwards are.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I feel like you're going to get a bunch of these guys in through the middle to late rounds, right? I want to square away my mids because I know they're going to bang out a decent
big
score. I feel like the top, five or six defenders I've got, I feel like they're far and away the best because then you're getting into your Zach Williams, Sean Burgoyne, You know, I don't really want to be starting off my defensive line with one of those guys.
No.
I'm happy to have them, but just not number one. But if people are picking these guys, these forwards too early, you know, in rounds two and three, and you're just scooping up Rory Sloan and Robbie Gray, you're set, man. And then you're going to be able to take a few shots on these guys like your, I think Petrarca's a great pick.
Yep.
I think
yep.
Billings would be a great pick as a super coach as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get a raft of these guys through those...
That mid-range.
Yeah, through your round 9 to 15. A couple of them are going to hit in a big way.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them won't. Oh, some of them will go Sam Gray.
Yeah.
And maybe you guys have been listening to me too much, being the ageist that I am, but are we all missing it with Nick Riewoldt? I mean, is he capable of pumping out another 110?
In Supercoach,
he went 100.
Every year, bar one or two years, he's done it.
So I've
that would make him the number one forward again.
He's the number one forward this year.
Yeah, and look, that's the thing. I've got him pretty highly in Dream Team because I think the marks and everything are great. But a lot of what Nick Riewoldt does is uncontested,
yeah,
which doesn't make him as valuable in Supercoach, doesn't give you those...
He'll still get those big games, big ceiling games, but there's some where he might knock out a 77, 80 sort of score.
So, I mean, I've got him... If I was picking between Nick Riewoldt and Tom Lynch, handsome Tom, I wouldn't care. I said handsome Tom. He's not Tom Lynch anymore. Just handsome Tom.
Handsome Tom. Okay.
So we're talking a game that punishes people for having a really good tank.
Yep.
Sorry.
But no, see, but everything's uncontested. Oh, although marks on a lead are the most valuable uncontested possession.
That's true. And so, he gets like 40 of them a game.
That's true. Anyway, we've spent a lot of time on
Luke Delhouse.
Who the hell are we talking about? Now, the little master at 18, John. The
little master, Gary Ablett, at 18. I think now with the inclusions of blokes like Barlow and the likes, he gets back, he recovers from his injuries, gets back to his best.
Is Barlow a doctor?
Yes, he is, apparently. Now he's away from crazy Ross Lyon. I just see him getting back to his best, and you're going to get value at him in the second round, I think.
Yeah, I've got him at 25. I'm not as
so you're going to get even better value if you do get him in that third
round.
Well,
if I've got him there, that's fine because I'm not at that point. I'm not banking on him playing 20 plus games.
I've got him penciled in for 19.
19 games. Oh well, that's look. If he plays and plays well, I just don't see those. You know, give me Lachie Neale, give me Cade Simpson, give me JPK, all those guys.
So the thing with Ablett, if you can get him and he fires off the first few rounds, trade him.
Big value, yeah.
Yeah. So that was part and parcel while I picked him in that second round.
Yeah, I think he'll... I've got him at 25. I don't think I'll get him there, but I feel pretty comfortable with that rating.
Yeah. Number 19 for me is Lachie Neale. I think the statesman's going to have a heart attack on this one. The only reason I've got him down there, I think he takes a small hit this year, just acclimatizing playing with Fife if they play for the whole year, but come 2018 that's when he'll go back to where we saw him this last year.
Yeah, I've got Lachie Neale at 16. He's such a between the 50s player,
and it's 1 year. I know it's well, he went 104 the year before, but we saw it. I want to see one more year from him as well.
Yeah, the volume's incredible, so I'm pretty comfortable with him at 16.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got him at the back of those Treloar, Hanoveries, Kennedys. Like you said, there's a little bit of a question mark. But I've got no problem with that if I take him in the second round.
I'm quite happy to have him in the second round. And rounding out my top 20 is Patrick Cripps. Yes, I know he's had that back injury, but I'm not worried about that at all. He's going to kill it.
I don't have Cripps rated because I'm worried about that back injury. I got no confidence in that.
Just don't think he's going to be able to carry that midfield for the whole year.
Well, that's the problem. His back's brutal. He did it.
Well, Dale Morris played half the season with a broken back. I mean, just a broken back.
I love Patrick Cripps, and if these lists are fluid, Jono. We can change him.
It's January. We haven't seen a game yet.
It's January. We can change him. If he shows me something, if he runs a lap, well, he can be in the...
Well, I saw Nick Natanui run today, and...
That didn't look great.
That did not look great, no.
No, look, if he gets recovered, I'd put him probably behind Josh Kennedy and in front of Tom Mitchell at 14.
So in your mid second round.
Yeah.
Yep. And rounding out my top 30, starting at 21, I've got Taylor Adams, 22, Rory Sloane, 23, Jack McRae, 24, Michael Barlow, 25, Zach Merritt, 26, Dane Zorko, Dusty Martin at 27, Prittis at 28, Callum Ward, 29, and Steele Sidebottom coming at number 30 for me.
Old Rust. Yeah, Taylor Adams, 21. Yeah, I got him at 20. The only difference would be he's my fourth defender.
Yeah. So just that durability, disposal efficiency.
It's not that. Yeah, it's the scoring. He can't... He's a hacker. Mm. He's a butcher. He's... Can we get some more...
Jack the Ripper.
Where's my thesaurus? Yeah, he really doesn't pump out big scores in Supercoach. I've got him behind Cade Simpson. How's this for a stat, Jono? Last season, Cade Simpson had more 120-plus games than in Taylor Adams' previous two seasons.
Cade Simpson, at the age of 32, had a career year.
Yeah, but he averages 90s. Mid-90s every single year.
Oh, I know that.
And never misses.
I know that, but...
So, I've got a premium on defenders.
Yes, I see that. And normally you're a guy who... It's reversed. Normally I have the premium, but...
Yeah, look, last year I had a lot of forwards very high. This year I feel the forwards are very same, but I feel the top stack of defenders is... And even with those forwards, they might not separate themselves from the next guy, but I think the defenders are clear-cut.
I just think there's a lot of defenders to choose from that... Could get to that bracket in that 90s range this year.
Yeah, but range. I mean, 90 isn't going to do it for me with my number one defender.
Oh, no. And there'd only be...
I reckon there's about 5 or 6.
I was going to say 6 to 8 that could get you that 100 defense.
Yeah. But I just put a premium on. Anyway, that's fine.
Yep.
22, you had Rory Sloane, who I had at 24.
It's really weird with Rory Sloane. He's... such a good scorer, yet...
Great Supercoach scorer.
But everyone always gets ranked down the list. It's...
Because he's not...
Sexy.
He's not I don't think he's one of those big... You wouldn't feel great if you were rolling him out as captain every year. No, he's just below the top guys.
It's just that below.
If he's your second, and you've squared away one of your defenders and another midfielder, awesome.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, he's your... But if you've gone full mids and he's your third mid... You're feeling pretty happy about what sort of score you're putting out.
Oh, this guy's going to... He has averaged 114 in the past, so...
Yeah, and I think that's about his ceiling. I'm a little bit worried this year. I've got him at 24. Just, I think the tags might start to happen a little bit more.
Don't think they'll go to the Crouch Boys?
Pardon?
Don't think they'll go to the Crouch Boys?
No.
No.
No, I got big thoughts on Matt Crouch. I think he's going to go...
Oh, well, I've actually written an article about him, so watch out for that.
Is it positive?
It's very positive.
Yeah, get on Dream Team. Dream Team superstar.
As both formats, though.
Not so much.
Not so much. Your thoughts on Jack McRae at 23?
Yeah, he's a fine choice, and I certainly like him in my team, but it's just a bit rich for me. I don't think he does anything that...
Deserves forward status, well, considering he's kicked 19 goals in his whole career.
He doesn't deserve... Does that include juniors?
No, that's his whole AFL career.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't do anything that separates himself from
other wingers.
Buddy Franklin and Rewalt and all these other guys for me.
Well, he does. He kicks less goals than him. That's what six.
Yeah, well, he kicks less goals and he also kicks the ball about 6 metres each time. He's not really a rakier.
No.
So that kind of hurts his Supercoach upside. I mean, he's fine, but just a bit rich for me.
Michael Barlow at 24 for me. I think... As I said before, he's away from crazy Ross Lyon. We've seen him score massive before. Only question would be maybe injuries starting to get the better of him, but I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I've got no problem with Barlow, certainly at this range. I mean, I just think there's guys I'd prefer in my team. Just a bit safer. I don't mind it. I got him pretty high and I got him in there in Dream Team format, but I just think in Supercoach he probably doesn't offer the same
value,
same upside and consistency.
And coming in next was Zach Merritt for me. I think he takes a hit with returning players, just not sure how Worsfold's going to play him, but I think 2017 is going to be Watson's, Joe Watson's last year, and then once Watson's gone...
Sticking the knife in the Essendon fans again, Jono.
Hey, it's been too long. Once Watson's gone, Zach Merritt gets straight back into that midfield, scoring big.
We know Statesman's got some big thoughts on...
Zach Merritt.
Zach. I've got him in at 18.
I actually did a bit of reviewing on three young players, Treloar, Neil and Zach Merritt. And the one thing that stood out after reviewing them is their success so early in their career in point scoring, both Supercoach and Dream Team. Obviously, Zach Merritt is a little bit lower in Supercoach than he is Dream Team. But the one thing was pretty clear is their points per minute were exceptional when you compare them to who we consider the guns now. So I see that those three will develop into uber elites. And I think the surprise with Adam Treloar in his first five seasons, there were 3 years where he's averaged the ton. You look at Gary Ablett and Patrick Dangerfield, they were zero. So we're talking these guys have got some real elite potential. When we're talking Lachie Neale, you guys had him both mid to late in the second round. He moved from Supercoach 104 to 112 average. There's a lot of talk about what Nat Fyfe inclusion is going to do. Well, the actual difference in scoring wasn't anything to do with opportunities. His points per minute were exactly the same. What he did was change from having mid-70s game time to low 80% game time, and that all increases his tank increases. So I think you'll find both Zach Merritt and Lachie Neale will keep climbing the charts, and I don't mind if you guys underestimate this because I'm quite happy to pick them up in round two and three.
Exactly where we've got them.
Well, you've got him in round three. I've got Zach Merritt at 18 in the back of
round two.
I'm a little bit more bullish on him in Supercoach than Dream Team, would you believe it or not? He's such a good outside player and such a good tackler. I think when he starts to use the ball in this team, he's going to start using it forward of centre. He's played that half, like the mid-forward role before.
Like Luke Parker.
Yeah, like he's done before. And like I've said, I think he gets better as a player. And fine, he might not have the volume, but if the quality increases, that means the drop-off isn't as great in Supercoach. So yeah. I'm a little bit more bullish on him there. I think he can hit the scoreboard a little bit as well. So that's my reason I've got him there. I find it hard to believe in a draft that you choose him above your Treloar's, Hanbury's, Kennedy's. But I've got no problem taking him before Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
So it's interesting points that you make. Very interesting. The points per minute. It's
one of us will be right at the end of the year, I guess.
All right.
Yes, I'm looking forward to spruiking.
Hey, there's going to be so much content.
Oh, yeah. We should be writing notes already.
We don't record it, this, do we?
No. Never. Dane Zorko, sure. Next on my list. I don't see him changing too much. There's other tag options there at the Brisbane Lions. See Daniel Rich because he's awesome left foot, but don't see Dane Zorko getting pushed out of that midfield in a hurry.
Yeah, I've got Dane Zorko at 29. I think he's fantastic for Supercoach. Loves the contest pill, loves kicking goals, loves putting the ball inside 50. I think he's a gun. Yep. Doesn't miss games. He only missed two last year.
Suspension.
One was suspension.
Yep.
He's a great pick. He might not have the most upside in the world. So, if, you know, at the moment, I don't have Cripps rated. So if you were shooting for upside, you'd certainly take Cripps. Maybe you could argue Barlow or Wines, but I feel like he's a really, really safe pick. And at that 29 spot for me, he's reinforcing my earlier mids.
Yeah, absolutely. He'd be great folly for the other guys you've got in front of him. Dusty Martin coming in at 27 for me. Look, this can certainly change, but with the early talk that he's going to be spending more time forward, with the human meatball coming into that side, that 108 average is certainly going to take a hit. Look, we've seen Dusty average 104 before when he was at mid forward, but as a pure mid. I just don't like him as that pure mid for me.
Yeah, I've got him at 26. I mean, you've got to remember this guy was being drafted first round for the last 4 years.
That's true.
I've certainly got no problems taking him in the third round because he plays every single match. Yep. Never misses. He's going to, even if he plays forward, big deal, he's still going to score me 105. I've got no problems taking Dustin Martin. He's a very, very safe pick and love him on my team.
Yeah, absolutely. 28 for me is Matt Prittis. Again.
And also on Dustin, just if Tigers are going to be better and he's playing forward.
Hello, goals.
Oh, my goodness.
No Ty Vickery there. I mean, geez, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Matt Prittis, just been doing it for years now. Safe as houses pick. Just if he's your third midfielder, he can go big as well. But always had that handball to kick ratio, heavily in favour of that handball. And I think Mitchell also helps him to maintain that 108, 109 average for me.
Yeah, I really love Matt Prittis in Supercoach. Doesn't miss many games anymore. Average 109. So, I mean, it's 2 points behind Adam Treloar, and you're getting him two rounds later.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah.
It's a reinforcement mid.
Pretty much.
You might not even have to take him in the third round.
You couldn't get him in the fourth or fifth. Yeah. Coming at 29 for me is Callum Ward. Looking at this guy's numbers, I thought, why doesn't he score better? Average better, and those kick to handballs that's the only thing that's stopping him. That kick to handball is pretty much 1-to-1. Like, if he's kicking that ball more, like, he gets the clearances, he gets the ball inside 50. If he kicks it more inside 50, that points are going to go up for me. But again, he's a Matt Prittis, he's solid, he's consistent, he's safe.
I've got Callum Ward at 28. I really like him in the Supercoach format with the 105 last year. He's always 105 plus.
Yep.
Plays
every year.
Never misses.
Yeah.
Going to be in a good team, going to win a lot of the ball. And the one thing I like about Callum Ward, and I guess you could argue that it's a bad thing, he will give you a couple of 70s, a couple of 80s through the year, but he'll give you a 170 at some point you a week.
Yep. Just make sure you got the C on him at the right time.
Well, you know, but that's part of the game.
It certainly is. And rounding out the top 30, as I said before, was Steele Sidebottom for me at number 30. This guy's got elite running. He's a proven scorer for me. He's going to be playing on the wing. He's going to rest forward. So the opportunity to kick those goals are there. He's, again, a very underrated player and super coach.
I don't have him.
Rated at all?
Rated in my top 30. He's a good player, but we're just a bit different there.
You have other people.
I mean, our list is reasonably similar, I guess you could say, but you've just thrown in a couple of extra mids. Three extra midfielders than I have, whereas I've thrown in three defenders and a ruckman. So
there you go.
You know, that's where we're a little bit different. So any apologies there, John?
I've got about half a dozen here. Just going to read them out. I've got Steve Coniglio, Rory Laird, Buddy Franklin, Brody Grundy, Matthew Boyd, and Alex Rance.
Is there anyone there you like, Statesman, that you think John has a little bit low on? We know you love your boy Rory Laird.
I do like Rory Laird, and I think he should be rated very much up the top end of those defenders. I've obviously keep Dock as my number one. The other one is just understanding a little bit more of how this will affect the natural development of Brody Grundy, because I just see him as one of those truly standout ruckmen. He's just going to be, that's his role, and he's going to play 80% of his time in the ruck, and I think that's got some real scoring potential.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, he'd be my 31st pick, I would say, Brody Grundy.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously we had a few players different. John, I'll just go through the players I had in my list that were a little bit different that you didn't feel were worthy of your lofty recommendations. I had Cade Simpson at 19. Obviously, I'm putting a premium on defenders. He's my third defender. Last year, averaged 106.
Yep. Up 12 from previous year.
Yeah, but he's, even if he falls 5 points, he's 100. I've got no problems with him. I think whatever Bolton's done in that team, they're a developing back line. He's just a fantastic player. Uses the ball well. A lot of kicks. great for the scoring. At 22, I've got the aforementioned Rory Laird. I think I've got him as my fourth defender. If you know the ageist among you wanted to have him as the third defender and swap Simpson, I've got no problems with that. There's a chance he could get some midfield time. I don't know what's going on at Adelaide. We're here and
Kurt Thompson, Ellis Yolman.
It's just a kerfuffle over there. But I certainly got him at 22. I'd have no problems taking him as my first defender. Averaged the 97 last year. What a great player. 23, I've got Lee Montagna, which obviously Statesman's just going to... His brain's just about to fall out of his ear and into his Pinot.
And salad.
But you can't... The guy plays 20...
With a bit of salt.
With a bit of salt. But the guy plays 20-plus games almost every single year. He's moved back into the plus one in defence. He just runs around getting 30 touches every week. Going to average high 90s. I've got no... If you don't take him, you're going to be taking, like, Bob Murphy, Jason Johannes. Like, just... I don't want these guys. I want someone who's...
I don't want Lee Montagna.
Lee Montagna can score 150.
Zach Dawson.
This show's just gone off the rails. Look at him. She's a confused old man. He doesn't know. It's like my 90-year-old grandma's just jumped on Facebook the first time. And
I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
At 30, the other difference, I had Brody Grundy. Don't love it because I don't... This is more of an upside pick. I don't think I'll get Brody Grundy at pick 30, mind you.
No, considering we've seen a couple of other footy fantasy shows do mock drafts, and what was it, 3 inside the top 20, was it?
Oh, well, that was Dream Team scoring.
But okay.
This is my difference. I don't think... Look, my thoughts on rucks are well documented that they're not particularly valuable, but I've got 2 in my top 8 because I think they're real difference makers. But Brody Grundy doesn't win enough hitouts for mine.
No,
like everything he does is around the ground. He's good at tackles, good at clearances, good at down the line marks. Now at 30, I'm banking that he averages sort of 104, 105. I don't know that he can. That's the thing.
I was thinking maybe 100 at a stretch.
That's the thing. He just doesn't. He loses ground to these other guys. Like Shane Mumford averages like 2 kicks a game over his entire career, but he gets 50 hitouts.
Yeah.
And half of those are going down people's throats. Sandy's going to bounce back.
Sauce Jacobs Martin.
Probably. Like, he doesn't do enough to separate himself.
See, Paddy Ryder even will jump all over him.
So, at 30, I'm okay with it because, yes, he's young, yes, he's improving, and he looks like a superstar. But I just... Look, he could start winning those hitouts as he gets stronger.
Yeah.
That's in the range of possibilities. But I just... I can understand why people would have him in their top 20, but it's just not for me because I think I'll get
value.
I don't care if I get Sandy in round 12. Just whatever. It's not a big deal to me. And that's my thoughts.
Can I just make the point, gentlemen? Champion Data did a bit of a report on who's got the best midfields, and it basically said Collingwood were number one and Melbourne were the lowest. Well, with the top 30 combined, you guys had 3 Collingwood midfielders, 4 if you add their ruckman. One was at 30, one was at 31. Melbourne had 0 midfielders in this group. If you add the ruckman, you've got 1. Sydney, 3. Geelong, 2. So it's interesting that their report is similar to what you guys pick as your top 30 for Supercoach.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well,
I actually haven't read that article. I'll have to
I had a look at it, and I thought it was strange because that was sort of like it was done over a 2-year analysis. Period. So they're sort of saying that Levi Greenwood's still
relevant,
valuable. They're saying Daniel Wells is fantastic when he's on the park. They're saying Jack Crisp is good.
Serviceable.
He's serviceable. So they were saying it was... There was some top-end guys, like with Steel Sidebottom and Pendles and Treloar and even Adams, I guess.
Yep.
But they were saying it batted pretty deep as well. It's really interesting, though. Really interesting point, because, like you said, we don't have any Melbourne midfielders.
See, originally, I did have Jack Viney when I first wrote it out, but then just looking at, I'm like, I just couldn't fit him in my top 30. Like,
yeah, I'd rather other guys. Like, I like Jack Viney. He's in my top 30 dream team.
I don't like Jordan Lewis.
I hate Jordan Lewis. slide. But, I mean, it's like Nathan Jones is a good player, but he's not fantasy. What you call a fantasy stud. He's a mid-round guy. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a knock on him. It's just not for super coach.
But Bernie Vince, we can't particularly trust, I don't think, at this stage. No. Dom Tyson, I don't feel like I trust him to do anything.
Not anything super, that's for sure.
Certainly not in Supercoach, because as much as I bag Taylor Adams' disposal,
they're handcuffed together.
So apologies. I had Buddy, Jack McRae, Handsome Tom. Handsome Tom, man, he's going to go ham.
Do you have any...
Coniglio, Wines.
I was going to say, did you have any... Who were your unlucky players?
And Rants.
And Rants, yes. Anything else?
No, that's all my thoughts. I mean, you boys keep knocking these old boys.
I thought the Matthew Boyd we didn't have in there, but
he's not playing 18 games.
18 games max, I think we'll see Matthew Boyd play.
I think someone's going to, especially, how annoyed would you be if you're on auto draft and you got like Braden Fiorini followed by Matty Boyd? It's up two rounds.
It certainly would not be good.
Any parting thoughts, Statesman?
I've just quickly done a report, so hopefully I've got them covered. But the midfielders that you've picked, and I've picked a couple that are, you know, dual position, but they play in the midfield. So Collingwood had, and this is including the Ruckman, had four. Sydney, three. Two, Western Bulldogs, Geelong, Fremantle, Brisbane. Ones, two, North Melbourne, Adelaide, GWS, Hawthorn, Port, Gold Coast, West Coast, Richmond, St Kilda. And I don't know which club I'm missing out there, but that's reasonably important when you look to quality of midfield. But I think you've done a very good report. But how would I know? I don't think I've ever cracked the top 2,000 in Supercoach. We've done much better, obviously, in Dream Team.
I think there's four. You had Pendles, you had Sidey, Treloar, Adams.
That's four.
And four Grundy. Plus Ruckman is five. Yeah. There you go.
Shows where they're lacking.
Collingwood well and
yeah.
As they should be. The mighty... No Sharon Berg, unfortunately. Just couldn't squeeze him in.
No.
Or have him as an apology.
Well, we haven't done our defender rucks, our ranks yet.
Our retired players show yet. Sharon Berg.
What have we got coming up, Steve? We've got next week our ruck rankings, which should be very interesting. I started them yesterday, and my God.
Yeah, we got some keeper ruck talk as well.
Oh, excellent.
We're going to have a little bit of keeper talk for the people who love it.
Yes.
Very passionate players.
That should be very good.
Yeah. And don't forget to keep those Listener League entries coming in. We've got four spots left.
Four spots.
So us three are in. We got Big Cox, Bales 81, Crippled Brewer, Peter James, at Bangers and Mash. So if we've left you off, we haven't picked you. Get on it.
Send us a meme. Send us a video.
Tell us your league punishment. Do you work out your draft order in a fun way like you and me, Jono? We just randomly draw Royal Rumble wrestlers.
Another one went in late last week.
Who?
Jobber.
Oh.
He's a jobber.
Oh. How funny was it? Did we get you?
So that wraps up the show for this week. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or follow Statesman, where he's at Statesman33, or you can head over to Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, or drop us an email at thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Also head over to iTunes, hit the five stars, and drop us a review.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.